episode number 136, and we got our annual hockey preview, our third hockey playoff preview, with the one, the only, Jake Saretsky. Only an hour. Usually, last time we went two with him.
Yeah, it's usually a lot longer, so.
It's usually a lot longer.
We dice this one down.
I definitely did not blunder a food order to cut it short. But anyway.
It was needed. We would have kept going about defensive zone coverages.
Knicks playing the Sixers. Yankees get a big win in Toronto. Mets.
Sweep
the Pirates.
Four series in a row. They are 9-3 in their last 12. 10-8, baby.
Let's just dive right into these playing games right away. No time to waste. Let's start off. Lakers get a big win over the Pelicans. I thought they were going to come back. Zion doesn't get hurt.
I think the Pelicans come back. Terrible. I can't even lie.
I feel terrible for that. And is this
the end for the Heat?
Is this the end of the Golden State Warriors?
Yeah, no, Klay Thompson was abysmal. I mean, he was like 0 for 11. The dude can't shoot, and he's going to be gone. Oh. And I expect a team like Orlando to maybe throw some money at him, get a veteran shooter, because they do have those young guards to space the floor. But, yeah, no, he was a disappointment in that playoff series.
We go fast forward to yesterday's game. Sixers take down the Heat 105-104. Jimmy 13-point
Butler. Point lead. Jesus.
I kind of was getting flashbacks, though. I was like, fuck, I don't want to play the Miami Heat again. Like, I'll be honest.
You know what, though? You know what? I honestly think they're going to win tonight, so
we'll see.
Tomorrow.
Both are playing tomorrow. And then Chicago, Atlanta. You got to break up DeJounte Murray and Trae Young right now. Right now.
How is this team How do they even have the chance to play for a playoff spot?
Because I don't know. I don't. Because Trae Young was out.
36 wins? Are you kidding me?
Trae Young was
out. You got 82 playing games, Stan. You got 82 playing games. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And they got an 83rd. all right. Let's dive right into it. Playing games on Friday. Heat. No Jimmy Butler. Favored by 1.5 against the Bulls. Total set at 205. What do you got?
Bulls have no business being here. I'm still going to take the Heat. Jimmy Butler list and all. I still think they get out of this. I know you're going to go with the Bulls here, but I think the Heat get it done.
I do like the Bulls to win here, but it's not my bet. I'm going to take the under of 205. Both these teams, very great defensively. They are Heat are third in defensive efficiency. Bulls are second in defensive efficiency. Heat have a very low 3-point frequency. Jimmy Butler's out. That's a lot of 3-pointers not being taken. I think shot selection isn't really the greatest for either of these teams. I'm just going to roll with the under. 205. Rock solid 205. And last but not least, Pelicans Kings. The Pelicans undefeated against the Kings this year, 5-0. All of those games, they were underdogs. But no Zion Williamson. The Kings are favored by 1. Total set at 2-11. What do you got?
God, like, I just don't even want... I don't know, dude. I don't know. The Kings have been horrible since the All-Star break. The Pelicans, Zionless. For me, Stan, it doesn't matter who wins this game because neither of them get out of the first round. So I'm just going to go Kings to save the Kings, but whatever.
I'm going to go with the Pelicans. I think the Kings have absolutely no business being here. As I said before, they just got lucky that Klay Thompson had an off night.
And literally,
home. Kings play exceptionally well at home. Yeah, give me the Pelicans. I know there's no Zion, but that 5-0 against the Kings, all as underdogs, really made a difference there. Tim, your Cavs play tomorrow at 1:00. No predictions, but just because of time reasons. But give your spiel.
They just got to figure it out. I think this is going to be a time for them to figure out this series. I think they sort of got the easiest out of all the top four teams. I think they got the easiest matchup. I'm not trying to discredit Orlando, but they are really young. They don't have the experience yet. I like Paolo, but I think Evan Mobley could shut him down. I think Jared Allen's been on top of his game, and Donovan Mitchell's finally playing injuryless. So if he could just continue to stay what he does when he's healthy, I think they'll be fine. I think they get it done in 6.
All right. I'll give my spiel. No one, even the betting markets, think that you're going to lose this series, New York. No, you're not. Keep your head astray.
Nope.
We're gonna fucking dominate. We're gonna dominate. They haven't even scored over 100 against us all year. Why now? Because they have Embiid back?
Does that make you worried a little bit?
No. Not at all. All
right. I like the confidence.
Nope. Not at all. Not at all. I watched that game. I honestly was like, you know what? I wouldn't mind playing either of these teams, to be honest. And the fact that that everyone is – FanDuel has us a series underdogs. Everyone is has us a series underdogs.
It's the Embiid factor. Why not us?
It's the Embiid factor. Why not us? We got Jalen fucking Brunson. Jalen Brunson.
I love it.
Jalen Brunson.
I love the enthusiasm, Stan.
Love it. All right. Real quick, Yankees get a big win over Toronto. Thank God.
What a bad series for them. What the hell's going on?
Happens.
Yeah.
I felt like the cold streak was coming.
Yeah, but I think you do really got to address this fielding issue. Glaber's been, and that entire side of the infield's been, Rizzo's been,
Yeah. All right. We're going to do it a little bit differently. We're going to do what I saw. Because of time. Because I really screwed myself here.
We're okay.
but you know what I mean. All right. What I saw is that weirdo reporter with Caitlin Clark. Did you fucking see that?
No, but that's already just sounding weird.
Okay. Caitlin Clark's introductory press conference was yesterday. As some people know, Caitlin Clark does the little heart thing to her family after every game. And I'm trying to find the – here it is.
The reporter say something crazy?
The reporter did the thing, did the heart. And Caitlin Clark said, "You like that?" And then the reporter said, "I like that you're here." To which Caitlin said, "Yeah, I do that at my family after every game." The reporter said, "Start doing it to me and we'll get along just fine."
Oh, jeez. I know he's trying to be witty, but that's just weird.
Journalism. Journalists are so fucking weird, yeah. Man. What career path did I get myself into? I don't know. Tim, actually, no. What I'm about to see, I'm previewing our next episode is what I saw. Are you ready, Tim?
Yes.
I'm going to play a great round of golf.
Hey, Stan, going to play a great round of golf. And I'll preview it too. I'm going to play a better one.
Oh, yeah, we're going against each other. But I'm using your clubs anyway.
Yes. Stan, also, what I forgot to mention this last episode. This is now going to be what I saw. During that Islanders-Rangers game, if you happen to catch a little interview before the game with Barzal and the press box, they asked him a question.
Oh, my God.
Rempe's playing today. Does that make you any nervous? Any jitters? He just sat there and goes, no. No? Nothing.
Like,
what are you asking?
I get it. I get that he's a name and he wants to be a – like, they're trying to push Matt Rempe, but
like, – Barzy's not having it. I mean, he's locking him before a big game. What kind of question is that? Stop it.
Come on. Stop it. All right. Okay. We're going to send it over to the playoff preview with Jake. Let's just do the close right now. So go to the playoff preview with Jake. Be sure to follow us on Instagram. We've been back on Instagram, X, and TikTok. Be sure to like this video, like our videos on YouTube, subscribe to our YouTube, leave a comment on our videos. Be sure to follow us and rate us on Spotify.
Five stars only.
We will see you guys on Tuesday. Enjoy the playoff preview with Jake. It feels like 94, baby. It feels like 94. All right. Peace out, guys. Okay, we are ready for our NHL playoff preview. It's that time of year again. Get excited. Welcome on for the gazillionth time. It feels like – I feel like the season's flown by, Jake.
Crazy.
It's flown by.
We're here
just every year.
Yeah.
It felt like just yesterday we were doing our near 2-hour hockey preview, and now here we are talking playoffs. Ladies and gentlemen, Jake Zaretsky.
Hello, everyone. I feel like my yearly average for this podcast is a little bit over 2.5, so I'm happy to have those numbers in my bag. But it's the best time of the year. Stanley Cup playoffs are right around the corner. So are the NBA playoffs. I'm sure you guys are going to get into that as well. But it's a fun time of the year. It's spring. We just had the Masters go by. There's still a couple tournaments still going on in golf. So, I mean, it's a great time. It's a great time to be alive.
That's so fun. Best time. I said this on the last episode. It's always whenever a good time of year in sports comes around, I always say it's the best time of year. Even though there's no really official best time of year, I'm kind of just.
This might be the best time of year.
It might be. It might be when NBA
playoffs.
I
mean, there's just, you know, there's like every season has.
The Mets are winning.
The
Mets?
Well, yeah, finally. It only took them.
Baseball.
That's baseball, though, right?
Yankees.
They were losing last week. That's all it was. They were losing last week. That's really what it
is.
162 game season. 162 game season.
That's true. That's true.
So there is still one matchup to be decided. It is in the Western Conference. It is down to Vegas and LA. Vegas takes on Anaheim. LA takes on Chicago, I want to say.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There we go.
Yeah.
So we are going to dive into the official matchups first. But first, Jake, your thoughts on the New York Rangers winning the President's Trophy?
It's a great feeling.
I have to mention it. Sorry.
It is. I'm not going to talk too much about it because, you know, there's still business to be done. But it's great. I mean, you look back at this season, and as a fan, you know, going into the year, I just thought, like, you know, how could this season be any better than how it's been in the past? Where you think about 2022 and how great that was, you know, going into the playoffs and making that run, and you know, for them to have done the things they did this year, whether it's, you know, players setting records, whether it's season high points, obviously Panarin, Trocheck, you know, you can go down the list of guys who have really stepped up for the team. And you think about some significant games too, like there's some overtime wins in there. I think something that really goes under the radar is that it was the first time ever in Rangers history that they won every single game of that Western Canada swing. And that was really early in the year. And so there's plenty of things to look back on and really be grateful for. I'm trying not to mention a specific game in February, but at the same time, you know, I think, again, you move on and you get ready for Sunday. It's going to be awesome. 3 o'clock against the Capitals. They're going to be tough. It's going to be playoff game. Like
you got a cakewalk. Stop it.
It's the playoffs. It's the playoffs.
La la la.
Earmuffs. La, 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 la. It's the playoffs. I think looking at it and
worried about Dylan Strome. I mean, come on.
I'm not worried. Who said I'm worried? It's just the fact that they're a good team. They got here for a reason, and it was an empty net goal that sent them to the playoffs. But at the same time, you know, I think that they're going to be a challenge. They're the Capitals. They have Ovechkin. They still have players on that team who could put pucks in the back of the net. So we'll see. It should be interesting.
So we will give our predictions early on, Jake. Jake, last time we had you on, it was the trade deadline. A lot of our listeners, a lot of our viewers, they're very, I hate to say it, but they're most of them fraud hockey fans. Most of them are fraud hockey fans. When you were on for the trade deadline, who were the teams that you were big on in the deadline? They eventually fell off. I know one comes to mind, Philadelphia. They were third in the Metro for what felt like 85%
of the season. We were saying it.
Well, I mean, there's a couple, like, if you're looking at strictly, like, the shock factor, I think Pittsburgh's one of those teams where you look at what they got rid of and Jake Gensel. And so for them to be able to continue to fight and to be in the position that they were right until the end was pretty crazy. But, yeah, I mean, Philly, you know, they sold off Sean Walker. That was, like, the big guy who they, you know, they got rid of. And so when you look at it like that, I mean, you know, early in the season, they were able to trade Cutter Gauthier in exchange for Jamie Drysdale. And so there were things that they did here and there that kind of put them in the position that they were. But at the end of the day, what it came down to was not being able to keep pucks out of their net and not being able to put it in the back of the other net. And so you have guys like Owen Tippett, who was red hot in months of January and December, and you look back earlier in the year, and he was red hot, and then he slowed down a little bit, and then you have guys like Travis Konechny. You know, there were a couple guys in the lineup that were banged up, but Philly and Pittsburgh are two really good examples of teams that had, you know, significant, like, changes at the deadline and post-deadline that, you know, clearly it had an impact on their, you know, season going forward.
And keep in mind, too, Washington sold the deadline.
They did.
If we really think about it. And there, here they are. Yeah.
I do think, though, like, you know, and this is going to go into our cup preview, and that Dallas and what they were able to get at the deadline, and Chris Tanev, and they made moves to really bolster that lineup. And so, you know, and obviously the call-up of Logan Stengel.
Vegas, too.
Yeah, Vegas. Well, the thing about Vegas is that, you know, it's very similar to what the Rangers did, where they got two of the top guys, well, three, actually. Three of the top guys who were out there, Hurdle was completely out of the blue, and he's been hurt, and he hasn't even suited up for Vegas yet. And I think, you know, you look at it where it's like, you know, they're getting all these guys, and they're good, but, you know, are they going to be producing in the lineup? You know, are those character guys that are going to really show up in the playoffs? And you're seeing it in the statistics. Like, Mantha hasn't been playing too great. Hannafin's been okay. He was on a goal drought for a little while. And so it should be interesting to see what they do in the playoffs. Obviously, it's Vegas, so they're a team to be concerned about, but you know, you have to tread lightly in this time of year. And that's why I love what the Rangers did. I could talk about it all day long. I think Rozovic's kind of been an okay pickup, but Wenberg has, like, solidified the bottom six. It's kind of really been the fourth line as the only line juggling. That line of Cooley, Wenberg, and Kako has stayed true since the deadline. And so, you look at a guy like that who they were able to get. I mean, Chad Ruedel was a serviceable guy in the lineup while there were a couple injuries going around in the back end with Trouban Lindgren. And so there are guys like that that you kind of need in your lineup to really fill the gaps. And I think the Rangers did great for the money that they had. And obviously it showed with the President's Trophy.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
I think you do. I'm going to glaze in the whole time, but you do got to give props to the Isles. They made no moves. They stuck true to what they had.
But they didn't, though.
No, I said they made no moves. I'm saying, Patty Waugh, I guess, but that was before the deadline. And going into the deadline.
They still got Mike Riley, and they still got, I mean, those are a joke.
But those were all waiver wire pickups in the middle of the year. Both of them have been okay. Riley's been serviceable at best. But they stuck true to what they had, 94 points. I mean, come on, let's be honest. Nobody expected this team to be here in March in the third spot in the Metro. I just want to give them props. I know they only have 39 wins, and people are going to go, oh, only 39 wins, but come on. We're in a new era. Those 16 overtime points are huge.
We're in a new era. Get the fuck out. All right, anyway, let's dive right into it. We're going to go Eastern Conference first, then the West. Let's start off with probably my favorite matchup in the Eastern Conference. The Panthers and the Lightning. Who's going to win? How many games? Jake, what do you got?
This is probably the best matchup that we're going to get in the first round. Just
by far.
It could easily be a conference final game or a conference final matchup.
Oh, yes.
And I think both teams now, they have elite playoff experience. Florida going to the Cup final last year. Tampa has all those years of deep runs. And so I think it's going to be a 6 or 7 game series. There's no chance that either of these two teams are going to be able to let this series go to 3-1 or 2-0 or 3-0. I don't see it even being close to that. So it's going to be a battle. There's going to be a lot of news coming from that series, whether it's Lomberg or Cousins or, there's so many guys on Tampa. I mean, Nick Paul is there. Hagel's a gritty guy, and they have guys in the back end who are going to get in there. And so it's going to be a very chippy matchup. If I had to pick a team that would go through, that's tough. That's a coin. It's truly a coin toss. I mean, I'm going to need some help here. It could go really either way.
I might be a Tampa Glazer, but I honestly see them winning this game this series in 5. I really like what Florida did last year. I know they went on a little bit of a run. They finished the year well, though the matchups they had at the end of the year were a little piss poor, playing teams that really were done for the year at that point. They had a slow march. They kind of slowed down a little bit after the All-Star break. I know they picked up those huge points at the end to take over the division, but I think Boston really is taking a sigh of relief here and going up against Toronto, because I think Tampa is a team to beat in the Eastern Conference this year. I know I say it every year, and they do this, they get there. Yeah, they have the experience, whatever. I always say that. But this year, really, I'm feeling it. I think Kucherov's on a tear. I know people are going to call him a power play merchant, but the way he's been putting the puck in the net and the way he plays is unbelievable. Company that with Braden Point, Victor Hedman, and the goaltending for Vasilevskiy, you just can't count him out in the playoffs. I mean, he is one of the best goaltenders in the world. So I'm really feeling Tampa Bay here. If the Isles aren't winning the Cup, that's my pick to win the Cup. So I like Tampa.
That's where I disagree with you. I'm going with the Panthers in 6. Plus 43 difference in net rating between the Panthers and the Lightning. And the big question here, and a question, but why I think the Panthers are going to win this series, they're just too deep. So many forwards, and Tampa doesn't really have that defensive depth to go at those forwards. You got Perbix, you got Chernak, Fleury. They get Matt Dumba at the deadline, and they haven't really been up to par as of late. I mean, Victor Hedman has sort of found his way back. I know, wasn't he hurt to start the year, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, he was out for a few weeks. Yeah. Same
he
thing
was
with
out for
too.
A bit. Yes. It comes down to the goaltending, but I think that coming off of the Stanley Cup run, they made some nice moves. Florida getting Vladimir Tarasenko at the deadline. I like the Panthers here. I haven't gone pretty far, and if I'd like him even better if Aaron Ekblad is healthy and is playing. I got the Panthers in 6.
Okay, that's fair.
Six
I think,
games.
So to wrap it up, I do like the Panthers in this series. They have a little bit more depth, like you said. I just think it's going to come down to goaltending. They're arguably two of the best goalies in the entire Eastern Conference right now, in Sergei Bobrovsky and Andre Vasilevskiy. But at the same time, it's going to come down to a coin flip. It's going to be a tight series. It could even be a Game 7 overtime goal that we see. So I'm going to go Florida in 7. I'm going to go Florida in 7. I just don't want Tampa in the playoffs. So that's my pick to kind of to get them out early, hopefully.
Next up, we got Boston and Toronto. This is feels like the old days. Feels like the old days. An original. This is original. I hope this is. I hope I did not say original.
No, you got it right. It is. No,
they're
it is.
Original it's six.
Very
okay,
safe,
thank
very
God.
Very safe. Safe to go with that.
Very
with that,
original six matchup. Toronto, very offensive heavy team. Matthews, 69 goals. Bruins, defensively sound. Mm-hmm. Their offense could be a little bit better. Jake, what are you thinking?
So a like? Lot of people, you know, what's crazy is a lot of people are going to talk about Carolina and the Islanders series being a very like slow and kind of like trap series. But I don't know, like Boston's been a very like sluggish team in the last few months, and Toronto's kind of been the same way. They've been putting the pucks in the back of the net for sure. Obviously, Austin Matthews finished the season with 69 goals, but at the same time, like their offense has stalled a little bit in terms of being able to actually, you know, solidify games down the stretch. And I don't know, I could definitely see this series being very, very tightly contested, where it's going to be tough to get goals, it's going to be tough to get into those gray areas. These two teams absolutely hate each other. I think the X factor in the series without a doubt is going to be Brad Marchand. I don't think Toronto has a player like that on their team, and now that kind of Marchand, you know, you have David Pastrnak as well, and so now that Marchand is kind of, you know, I wouldn't say the guy, because Pastrnak's there and how many points he puts up, but I think Marchand
110.
I think Marchand really like defines what it means to like be a Bruin, and you know, he's going to lead the charge in that series, obviously, as the captain of that team. And I definitely see them winning the series. It's going to be another first round exit for Toronto, just because the Atlantic for the last 4 or 5 years, the Atlantic has been just it's been lights out. Like it's probably been the best division playoff wise for the last few years, just because of these four teams that have constantly been rotating in and out. And so I got to go Boston. I'm going to say in six games here, they're going to wrap up the series in Toronto, and they're going to get it done here. So that is my prediction.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you, Jake. I think for me, the X factor is, can you trust your goaltender in the playoffs? That's a huge part of it, is who's in the pipes, who's the last line of defense. And I just don't think Toronto has that whatsoever. I don't think Samsonov is going to step up and elevate his game. I don't think Joseph Woll is going to elevate his game. I think you got a combo right now in Boston where you can flip either goalie every night. I mean, Ullmark and Swayman are two of the best goaltenders in the league. Both have a sub 2.6 goals against. Both have above over a .915 save percentage. I mean, you could play any of these guys either night, and you get reliable, trusting, great goaltending. And I think that's going to continue in the playoffs. I think, like you said, Boston, you know, they've been a little sluggish, but I think they're going to play that trap-style defense really well, where they're going to force Toronto to, you know, make a tough play, turn the puck over, go the other way. And set up Pastrnak, that's all you need. He's got 110 points, 47 goals. Let him shoot, and I think they'll be fine. Honestly, I think it's 5 or 6 here, too. I think this might be a clean series for Boston.
I got the Bruins in 7. I think that right now, obviously, Toronto's offense, very high-powered. You know, Matthews, Marner, Tavares, you name it, they got it. What worries
Pajama
me...
Boy?
What worries me about the Maple Leafs, and the big question, we mentioned goaltending, Samsonov not as strong as a goalie. Do the Leafs have the right group on the blue line? Riley and Lyubushkin, Benoit and McCabe, Edmondson and Liljegren. I got that perfectly, right?
Let me help you. Ready?
Yeah.
Some people say right. Liljegren, like it's.
I mean, his brother's in net for Washington, so you're going to be seeing it a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Fair. Yeah, that might be Liljegren.
Charlie?
Wait, what?
Oh, no, I'm thinking of someone else. Sorry. I'm thinking of Liljegren. No, yeah, I'm getting mass names mixed up.
Yikes. Oh, my God. It leaves TJ Brody on the outside. He's on the outside looking in. The question is that the optimal pairings for Toronto? I don't really think it is.
They are the Toronto Maple Leafs. The Isles have more playoff wins in this like last century than they do in their own home building. I'm telling you right now, Stan, it's not happening. They're not getting out of here. You're right. That's all it is. They're not getting out of here.
Yeah. I think it's just like the grit and grind of the only reason why I have this this series going to seven is because of the talent on Toronto. I just think that Toronto's going to be worn out by game seven. If they're up 3-2, they're going to be worn out by game six and game seven. I think this is Boston series to lose. Obviously, if Toronto wins this, hey, tip your hat to them. They got all the star power in the world. They got a 69 goal score. Good for them. But I really do not see a world where the Boston Bruins lose this series.
Yeah, and I think they also have been playing this whole season with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder, because remember, going into it, a lot of people sort of had them on the outside looking in. You know, you lose Bergeron, Pavel Zaka is your first-line center. Not a lot of people thought he was a true number one center. He stepped up this year, 60 points in 82 games. They got it. I don't know. They've proved me wrong all year. I'm going with them.
Fair enough.
Next series, we got the New York Rangers and the Washington Capitals.
Get out the brooms. Rangers in four. And I'm not even a Rangers fan.
Are you saying that strictly out of just like want like jinxing, or is that just like your actual prediction?
I legitimately think this Washington Capitals team is the worst team ever in the history of the NHL to make the playoffs. They had the lowest goal differential ever for any team ever to make the playoffs at -37. Their leading point getter had 63 points, Dylan Strome. Ovi's been slow all year. Obviously, age is catching up to him. They don't have consistent goaltending. They don't have a consistent decor. This team's been all over the place from start to finish. They are very lucky to scrape by and get in. I know we are too, very fortunate, but them especially, they have no business being here. I honestly have the Rangers in four, maybe five.
You know what? I respect it, because from an outsider who, you know, if you were to, for example, just look at that series in face value and not think about anything in the past, you could easily predict that this series is going to be four or five games. If you're looking at Rangers history and how they treat playoff series, then this series could easily go five or six. But I do agree with you in the sense that this Rangers team, it does feel different over the last, you know, few months or so. You've kind of seen their focus shift towards the playoffs, as, you know, they've been in first place for however long and kind of, you know, it not really been like treading water in first, but like they've gone on these runs where they'll win like five, six games in a row and they'll really get going. And when a team does that and they could show you that, hey, like, listen, like, we can get hot and we can really get, you know, get in gear here, it's a dangerous combo. And with Shesterkin and net and the power play clicking and guys like Panarin, Kreider, you know, guys who have been there, guys who know what it's going to take to actually win, this is a different Rangers team, and I think they have a little bit of a different fire centered on them after what happened last year in the playoffs. And so I definitely could see this being a sweep. Do I want it to be a sweep? Absolutely. I want to take care of business, get out of here, no problem. Do I think, as a Ranger fan, the Rangers are going to sweep a series for the first time since 2007 against Stan? Trivia question, who did they sweep? Come on, right off the top of your head.
Was it the Atlanta Thrashers?
My man. So there we go. The Atlanta Thrashers in 2007. They're not even in the NHL anymore. So that was the last time it actually happened. But it's possible. You know, this is a year of setting history, making new marks. Four games for the Rangers. Let's go, Tim. Let's predict it together.
Yeah, I'm with you. And another thing I want to point out, I think the only problem the Rangers have had, maybe not all year, in the past few months, has been 5-on-5 scoring a little bit. And Washington has been one of the worst 5-on-5 defensive teams in the league. So, again, they have no business being here. The Rangers are going to have no problem in this first round whatsoever. And I mean that just like as an actual looking at the series, not as a jinx. Like, they legitimately should have no problem here whatsoever. They're better at every position, up and down, first line to fourth line, first line D to third line D. They have no problem, in my eyes, winning this in four.
Fair. Stan, before you get into your prediction here, and I know you'll have something to say, I think it's crazy that when the Rangers knew that they had to win against Ottawa, they needed that win to solidify first place, to clinch President Trophy. They scored 4 5-on-5 goals. Shesterkin was lights out, and they controlled the game from start to finish.
There you go.
It was that Ottawa game, to go off your point. Like, I haven't seen this year's team play like that. And granted, like, I know they won the President Trophy, but I haven't seen this team play with such a fire.
Yeah,
that and then look they're playing for something, and then snap of a finger.
Yeah, look what Ottawa did the day after. They go into Boston and then they beat them. right? And that's a team that, like, yeah, I get it. They lost the night before. They didn't score a single goal. They wanted to go out the right way. But that's a team that could have easily beat the Rangers that night if the Rangers were off their game. There's no doubt about it. But the Rangers knew that had to take care of business. They knew they had to shut it down, and they did. And that's a team where if they can find it in the playoffs, they can win every single game. They could win 16.
Yeah. Not out of I got the Rangers in five. Was there ever any doubt? I got the Rangers in five. I would love a sweep as well, but it's just –
well,
which
what I will
not
say,
happen.
the only way the series goes five is if the Capitals win game four. Because
the only way, and if that's a goal, he scores three in like the second period. I'm telling you, there's no way that Rangers lose a game in this series.
Yeah, I mean, they've had it's been a grind for the Capitals to just to get here. Tip your cap to them, but this should
Capitals
be
have a losing Rangers record on the road. Like what? Yeah.
They should take care of business here.
All right, moving on.
They should take care of business.
Moving on.
Rangers in five. Rangers. Islanders. Hurricanes. I'm very glad that we're back with the Islanders Hurricanes series. Why? The first period unders. What were they? 6-6?
They'll hit it every time, Stan. Yeah, they'll hit it every time.
Perfect. First period unders. 6-6. Thank you, Johnny Lazarus. That was just the easiest money I think I've ever made in my life. But Tim, go on your spiel.
Listen.
Go for it. Go on your spiel.
The NHL is all about getting hot at the right time. You go back to 2019 St. Louis, last league in January, heat up those last few months, win the Stanley Cup. 2012, Kings creep in that eighth seed. They sneak in, they win the Cup. They got hot at the right time. The Isles got 15 out of 16 points in April, the last month of the year. They had two games against the Rangers, won one, lost one in a shootout. They shut out Nashville's in the playoffs. They have a winning record against Carolina this year. They have been grit and grind these past few weeks. They've been playing excellent hockey. I honest to God think if they stick to their system that they've been playing these last few games, I mean, you guys saw it in those two Ranger games, it's going to be a tough series for Carolina. They're going to take away time and space. They're going to be shoulder to shoulder all the time. And I know Carolina's sort of the same way. They play that man-to-man style defense, but if we can get a little tricky, Barzy can step up the play a little bit. I think the Isles win this in six. I don't want to see them play a game seven in Raleigh. I don't think that's a good, it's a recipe for disaster. So I think they get it done at six at home. That's my prediction.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem I have with the Islanders. They have to win two games in Carolina to win this series. And that's just one. Well, here's what I tell my roommate who's a diehard Islander fan. There's the winning formula for any team in the playoffs, and you can look back at the Rangers, and you can look back on Tampa, and you can look back on teams that made deep runs to the conference final. They defended home ice, and for the
we'll never lose, baby. Go to 2021.
they don't have the advantage of being able to play Game 7 at home, and so if the Islanders do take that series 7 games, I don't see them coming out on top in a Game 7 where Carolina is just, in my opinion, a deeper team.
Me too.
Freddie Anderson has been arguably the best goaltender in the NHL since his return. I think his goal saved above expected is like the best in the NHL, and it's by a lot since he's come back. And so I think he's rocking like a 930 like save percentage. He's been unbelievable. And
Varley's up there too.
Varley's been great. He's going to carry that into the playoffs. There is no hotter team in the NHL going into the playoffs than the New York Islanders. I thought they played a great game against Pittsburgh last night. And I think that they're going to give Carolina problems from period to period, but they need to figure out what to do in the second period. They have to be better in the middle of the game. They cannot play like an Oreo that has no cream in the middle.
107 goals allowed in the second period.
Yeah, they have to figure that out. That is their winning formula, is to play complete hockey for seven games. I just don't think that there's a single chance that they beat the Hurricanes in seven games or in six games or less. I don't think that's going to happen. They're going to need some sort of miracle to pull it off, and they need to defend home ice. It's that simple. You steal a game in Carolina, you defend home ice, and you take it to game seven. That is the winning formula. Then anything could happen in game seven.
Yeah.
That's it.
Also, finding ways to win for the Islanders. I get that they've won games. And don't get me wrong, the Islanders have done a hell of a job to get here. They need to generate offense. If they win this series, they got to score in the power play. The power play averaging almost...
No, it's been horrible.
It's been bad. Second lowest output of any of the teams that qualified for the postseason behind Washington. They drew 231 power play opportunities, fifth lowest in the league, scored on 47. That's 20%. Mm-hmm. Among the teams in the playoffs, it's worse than the Eastern Conference. Only Winnipeg and Vegas have had worse conversion rates. If the Hurricanes stick to the game plan, you know, they have a plus 63 goal differential, second best in the league behind Florida. They're deep, they're talented, they're disciplined. If Carolina plays disciplined hockey, I think they win in six. Sorry, Tim, but...
Yeah, and...
Yeah, sorry, well, I didn't get my prediction. This is...
Oh, sorry,
in my humble, honest opinion, I think Carolina wins in five.
Yeah, I can't blame you. I really can't. Looking at the metrics. I think, honestly, and we all know... The key for this series really is to keep it 5-on-5. If the Isles can do that, if they can stay out of the box and keep it 5-on-5, they'll have a much better shot at winning this than, you know, forcing this awful, awful, awful penalty kill to go out there and try and do something. And I think, I honestly think the way that they need to approach this penalty kill in the playoffs, which is a huge X factor for them, if this penalty kill could be somewhat decent, they have a good shot at stopping or slowing down Carolina's, you know, goal scoring rate. They got to take a page out of the Rangers book. I love what the Rangers do when they put that high man to pressure the puck carrier, force him to make a quick decision, and usually leads to a turnover. I think they need to adapt something like that, move Bo Horvat to the first line penalty kill, let him work with Clutterbuck a little on the top, run a little an adaptive diamond, slow down that puck carrier. I think they could do it. I think they'll be fine. Isles in six.
I can't wait. I cannot wait to watch an Islander playoff game with Tim on Saturday. That's going to be
should I be worried for you?
Probably.
No, I wouldn't be.
One of my roommates is a Carolina fan, Stan. He's a Hurricanes fan.
I wouldn't be as worried.
This is must see.
Again, the expectation as an Islander fan can't be too high. So game one is.
I got nothing going into this. We barely got it. I'm just happy to be here.
Yep, it's fair enough.
Just happy to be here. We'll go.
Well, who's our Eastern Conference champion? Oh, I guess should we move to the West and then kind of come back, or should we finish the East?
I think we should finish the East because I think we're going to cut. We might forget, you know, what the series are going to be.
Fair enough.
Get out of the way.
I would assume everyone would know who we're going to take to go to the step out of the East. Who's going to go to the Eastern Conference Final?
Okay, let's go. Well, I can't even say non-biased because it's just not.
Neither
a thing.
Can I.
Exactly.
I'm not going to pick another team. So. But the Eastern Conference final, the way I could break it down, I had the Panthers over the Bruins and I had the Panthers over the the Lightning, and I had the Bruins over the Maple Leafs. And I personally believe that Boston will move past Florida to play, in the Eastern Conference final, and the Rangers will move past Carolina to play the Bruins in the Eastern Conference final, where the Rangers will defeat the Boston Bruins.
I have everything except for the Rangers beating the Panthers.
Okay, fair enough.
Because Rangers-Panthers games are like Ranger home games.
Yeah.
If you think about it, all the,
not in the playoffs,
people
though.
That flocked... Not,
sadly. Not in the playoffs. It's going to be different.
We'll see.
You saw that environment. When Tkachuk scored that OT winner...
Yeah, that was fucking sick.
One of like his four in the playoffs last year. Yeah.
That was sick.
Cool. Yeah, Rangers-Bruins, Eastern Conference Final. That'll be a matchup. I don't know if I'll be able to handle myself for that. That'll be crazy. I got a lot of Bruins fans who I know.
Tim,
who are the Islanders playing in the Eastern Conference Final?
If it wasn't, it had to be the Tampa Bay Lightning. I mean, it's the third time they're going to play them. It's going to be the Tampa Bay Lightning. I think Tampa's going to leave their thumbprint on this Atlantic division. I think they're going to come out of this kind of easier than you guys think. I've just watched them play. I've watched their game. It's unbelievable watching that power play, what they can do, and how that team operates. So I have them playing the Isles. The Isles winning, obviously, but, you know, Isles-Tampa again. Why not? Okay.
Yeah, right, I really do feel like Tampa – sorry, Stan, I know. I really do feel like Tampa is just not a first-round exit. I don't know. I kind of agree. If anything, they'll lose to Boston in the second round.
That's what I'm saying. If they're going to go any, they're not getting out in the first round. I can't see it happening.
Yeah, neither can I, actually. I'm changing. Official change. No pulling it back.
First time ever.
We're going Tampa
ever.
Over Florida and in the first round.
The crazy thing about Tampa, too, is that when you get to around playoff time, Braden Point becomes their best player. So now you've got Braden Point working with Kucherov, Stamkos, Hedman. I mean, that guy's a playoff performer.
I just can't see them being a first-round exit. But I can't see Florida. Like, that series is going to be so good. Florida went to the cup final last year. Oh, my God. It's going to be amazing. But let's just go to the West.
Out West. We're going to the Central because the Pacific still has to be determined somewhat.
It's airy.
Yeah. Winnipeg and Colorado.
Woo. This is one of my favorites in the West. Ooh.
Tim, you want to start?
Yeah, Tim, go ahead. Go ahead.
I mean, I might be crazy in saying this just because everyone knows how good Colorado is and how good they are off the rush, but you got to take into account Winnipeg's played them four times this year, and they've beaten them four times, and not by a little. I mean, they won 7-0 the last time they played against each other. Something about the way Winnipeg's playing this year, Hellebuck's clicking, that offense has been, you know, pretty decent. This whole team's been, I want to say, better than expected. I know they kind of have these sort of expectations every year to make the playoffs, be a 90-point team, but, you know, they lost a couple guys in the offseason. They, you know, they're not rebuilding, but they said they were sort of retooling, and they come out here and they put up what, 105 points?
Yeah,
I mean, they're a little. They seem like they're on a mission this year. 108 points. They seem like they're on a mission this year. They got a plus 58 goal differential. They're good on the road. They're good at home. I really like them against Colorado, and they are on a 7-game winning streak entering these playoffs. So they're, you know, they've won the last seven. So it's always a good sign.
For sure. I do agree with you there. I think Winnipeg has been a very, very good hockey team lately, and Colorado has kind of taken a little bit of a step back the last couple of weeks or so. Obviously, that loss to Winnipeg kind of being the low of their past couple of weeks of play, and it's a very similar slope or trek that we're going down here in the Western Conference, where the thing with last year is that every team essentially has a narrative, and you really can't say you can't pick a team to lose because you just have to think how is this team going to lose? How is a team like Winnipeg, who has Connor Hellebuck in net, they've been good all year long. Sean Monahan, Tyler Toffoli at the deadline, they've been incredible in terms of the way that they played all over the ice. How could you pick them to lose? And then you look at the other side of things. How can you pick arguably the Hart Trophy candidate, Nathan MacKinnon, Cale Makar, Mikko Rantanen, and all these guys on that team to lose? And ultimately, what it's going to come down to is the play of Connor Hellebuck and his ability to shut teams down, frustrate them, get them completely off their game, and win games. And you need a goaltender to steal games for you. Unfortunately, at home, well, fortunately for Winnipeg at home, they're not going to have to steal a game. Unfortunately, well, for Colorado, that's going to be the case. I don't see Georgiev being able to do that in an environment like Winnipeg.
And he hasn't been great either.
He has been awesome. Yeah,
he has not been good.
I think both teams are going to defend home ice for the first four games. It's going to be 2-2 heading back to Winnipeg, where Winnipeg will win there. And they will also lose in game six to take it all the way to seven. And they will win in seven in Winnipeg over the
I'm with you. I got the Pegger in seven, too.
Yeah.
I have Winnipeg in seven as well. Yes. Colorado, they have the talent to take over games. Makar, MacKinnon. But
the experience.
Winnipeg has the goalie that can
Colorado's
steal those
got the
games.
Experience too. They do. They
that's what I'm saying. Colorado's got the experience.
Yes.
Oh yeah. And but, listen, that's the thing. It's going to come down to, you know, both teams. There's no way I see a team losing at home. Like, Colorado's been so good at home. So has Winnipeg. They've both been great at home. I don't see a team going in and stealing one. It's going to go 2-2. 1-1-1. That's it. That's how it's going to work. Unfortunately for Colorado, they weren't able to steal home ice, and that's going to be their downfall. So, yeah,
I got the Jets in seven. Hellebuck. I've been so high on him all for the past couple of years. I love goaltending in the playoffs. I feel like that's always the thing. Like, if you have a good goalie in the playoffs, you're going to go far. And that's exactly what's going to happen.
For sure.
Next up, Vancouver, Nashville. Vancouver seemed to be
frauds.
The top
they are the frauds of the entire league. Oh, my Lord.
Oh, get into it, Tim. What do you got?
Listen, I understand that they started off hot. They went on sort of a unprecedented start to the season. You knew you couldn't keep up with that pace. But the slowdown and the regression they took from the All-Star break, I mean, he sort of looked out of place at moments. I mean, what was their record? 500 in the All-Star break, maybe below?
Yep.
Something like that.
They haven't been clicking. I think Nashville sort of went on a heater there. We saw them kind of creep up the standings. Roman Josi's been otherworldly. And, I don't know. I know I picked Nashville. I did in that Colorado series like a moron back in the day. Stan remembers that.
Jake does too.
Yeah, Jake does too.
Was,
yeah.
That was crazy. Bro they're thought not, Connor Ingram was legit.
Yeah, they're not they're not fooling me this time. I'm not letting it slip out of my hands this time. They're taking down Vancouver. I'm telling you. They're taking down Vancouver in six.
Fair. I don't hate that prediction. There's two very, very good goaltenders in this matchup here. But I think that the skill level on Vancouver's side is just greater. And I think that they kind of realized about a month ago, like, okay, like we really got to freaking focus here. Or we're going to lose everything we worked for at the beginning of the season. And they were able to do that. They hung on. They built off their lead that they created early in the year and they won their division. And so it pays off by getting a matchup against Nashville that they have experience. They have talent. You got Forsberg up front. Ryan O'Reilly that they got in the offseason, and they have Roman Josi on the back end. Like, that is a lethal combo. They have guys in that lineup who are absolute certified dogs. Kiefer Sherwood, Luke Evangelista. Like, there are guys on that team who are just dogs. Like, you dump the puck in, they're going to get it. It's like, it's essentially like a team like full of really talented Kyle McClains. That's how I like to describe it.
Love it. I love it. Yeah. I love that you mentioned that. That dude's going to be a beauty.
No, he's a dog. Kyle McClain's a dog. And you know, I think when you have a team like that, there's it reminds me very much of how LA played against Edmonton 2 years ago, where Edmonton, like, McDavid had like 160 points, like he was unbelievable, and LA just came into that series and teams were like, what the hell is going on? Like, how are they so good? And they just played fast, they played physical, you couldn't get the puck away from them when they had it, and they were a tough team to play against. I think these two teams are kind of going to clash against each other, where Vancouver's going to try to fly with the puck whenever they can and kind of generate offense, you know, from, you know, post to post, get the goalie moving, and Saros, he loves to do that. It's going to be a close series, but I do think Vancouver is going to take it in six games.
And I just want to mention one thing real quick. You got to shout out Gustav Nyquist. I mean, he came and played that center role. He's got 75 points this year.
75 points.
He's got 52 assists, 23 goals. I mean, I'm not going to say – the stats are very Barzy-like if you want to compare him to someone. But, yeah, he had a great year moving the puck. Phil Forsberg, 48 goals. I like it. I'm sticking with the Predators here.
I don't think Matt Barzal will ever be able to beat the mid allegations if he's struggling to keep up with Gustav Nyquist.
He's got 80.
That is true. He's out there.
When I look to the series, I see the matchups. Elias Pettersson against Philip Forsberg. Quinn Hughes against Roman Josi. Thatcher Demko against UC Soros. Where I think that this is going to tilt in Vancouver's favor is their depth and their special teams.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if Vancouver's clicking on that power play, I think it's going to be a rough series for Nashville, if I'm being honest. I got actually a Vancouver in five. Oh, wait, didn't you say you Vancouver prediction. In five?
I said Vancouver in six.
Okay. You guys are counting out McDonough and them. McDonough and them, baby.
We're not counting them out. We have
I know, I'm joking. Done in them.
I just think Vancouver just has the better team here, and I think that it's going to show.
Yeah, shout out my team, my guys, Vancouver.
Yeah, Stan.
That's true. These are your boys right here.
These are my guys.
I remember that early conversation when they were like 15-1-3, and like we were like, what's going on here? No, didn't they go like undefeated to start the year? They were like 10-0.
They went on some like absurd run to start the year.
Crazy.
Minnesota just want to fuck me.
I had Nashville making the playoffs too, and you were all like, eh?
We should go back to that.
We should go back to that.
Yes.
We will
eventually. It's always good to go down to Maryland.
Yeah, the Kraken and the Flames in there. Great.
I think I also had Seattle in mind as well. let's go to the one seeds. It's not even the one seeds that are the issue here. The issue here with the Dallas series and the Edmonton series is that LA and Vegas both play tonight. Vegas wins. They play Edmonton. Vegas loses and LA wins. Vegas plays Dallas. Edmonton plays
LA.
Thank you. Jesus Christ. So if I'm being honest,
the most likely outcome is that both teams, both of those teams win tonight. because they're playing at Anaheim and Chicago.
So let's call it how it is right now.
Yeah, I think that's the way to do it. Let's just call it how it is and what the matchups will be.
I wanted to see Dallas and Vegas so bad.
Oh, we all
think Dallas comes out of that. I'm sorry.
I think if Dallas played if Dallas plays Vegas, I think it's those two teams are just going to beat the shit out of each other.
Yep.
I think whoever wins that series does not make it out the second round.
Interesting. I could see that. But I do think Dallas – well, so let's go – I guess we're going to go into Dallas and L.A.,
yeah,
quote-unquote here. I think Dallas is, without a doubt, the deepest team in the Stanley Cup playoffs in terms of top to bottom.
Jamie Lynn's Jamie Benn's on their third line.
Third line. It's absurd. And he's been fantastic. Duchesne, Hintz, Robertson,
oh, yeah,
Pavelski, Stankoven, Benn. I think Sagan's getting healthy now. Heiskanen, Tanev, all these guys on the back end, and with Ottinger and net. And yeah, he hasn't been fantastic the last couple of weeks, very inconsistent results all season long. But we saw what happened in the playoffs when he was actually there against Calgary a couple of years ago. And so that's a team that I think will take care of business in the first round against LA. I think LA is a great team. But they don't have the firepower to keep up with Dallas, unfortunately. Very good players, a lot of dog players on that team, just similar to Nashville, but they don't have the goaltending. Cam Talbot's been good. He's been very serviceable. Do I think he can surprise
Stephen McDonald extra effort
to steal a win? Like, he can. He can be, I mean, look.
Most improved at basketball camp in third grade, Stan.
You could definitely see him. That's crazy. What a pull. You could definitely see him pulling like an Aiden Hill kind of thing and just like kind of becoming a little bit of a star for a few games. But I don't see them going the distance against Dallas. I think Dallas can take care of them in five or six games. But I will solidify it into a five-game series win for the Dallas Stars.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think this team's just loaded. They're loaded with firepower. And they got the young guys too. They draft well. And guys, Wyatt Johnston is, 32 goals? Roope Hintz, 30. Robo's got 29. They're a deep team. Duchesne, 25. Pavelski, 27. I mean, they got pretty much everything you want in a Stanley Cup team. Not really even over the cap, too. They're barely paying these guys. And great goaltending. This is like a 4 or 5-game series for me. Again, nothing against LA. They're a phenomenal team, but they're not equipped to beat a team like this.
Fair enough.
I feel like LA is always in the first round, always the bridesmaid, but never the bride. And I see the same thing. Detroit. Dallas is just too loaded, and I'll leave it at that. I feel like we'd all be saying same thing. Dallas.
I actually think we are going to get a sweep in that series.
Yeah, I think it might be. It's gonna be 4 or 5. I'm gonna say sweep. I think LA wins one at home, but I can see what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm going to call it a sweep. I want to be bold. I think that sweeps are far and few in between, and I think we're going to get one in both conferences this year.
Okay. Right. To the last Western Conference game, Edmonton, Vegas. These two teams are loaded, man.
Are we missing one? No, we're not. We got it.
No, we're not.
Right, not.
Edmonton and Vegas. I feel like this has started to become a new rivalry in the league. It's been...
I just feel so bad for McDavid.
Well, Here's my thing, though. I feel bad, but you got to remember how good that Edmonton team is now. Like, they have studs on that team. Ekholm, Hyman, Nuge, Dreisaitl. Like, they have guys on that team who will carry the load if McDavid, guys who will help out when McDavid is doing his thing in the playoffs. But
I feel like, though, that's been the problem for the past few years, is that it's only been McDavid and Dreisaitl pushing the needle. I feel like, like you said, they added more. They need to get some more of that bench scoring. Well, not bench, but I guess depth when you look at those two.
Yeah, for sure.
Elite players.
Evander Kane is in there, too. Like, they have guys on that roster. They have guys on that roster who can definitely contribute to putting pucks in the back of the net.
Defensively all for me.
Well, the thing is about Edmonton is that they love to push the pace, like, and that's the thing. Like, that makes them a very dangerous team. It's very similar to what the Rangers do, where they have a really good balance of offense and defense on their back end, but they love to put their defenders up on the rush, and that's something that Edmonton loves to do also, because, McDavid just carries the puck into the zone, and the defenders, they know that they're going to get a look if they're open, so they try to find ice coming up the middle. And that's a team that can be really dangerous in transition. But Vegas is so, so solid in their back end and how they're able to defend that they could cause problems. Now, the thing about Vegas is that with injuries and how they played this season and how the goaltending's been, it's been good, but it hasn't been like it's been in the past. And they've been riding Aiden Hill all season long, how he played for them last season to win the Stanley Cup for them. I don't know. This series is going to be a toss up. It's 100% a 7-game series. And unfortunately, we have, I think, my first prediction of a, besides hopefully the hope for you, Tim, but I think this is my first game 7 road victory here with Vegas beating Edmonton.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I 100% agree. I think it's going to go to 6 or 7.
It sucks.
It does. But just the way Jack Eichel elevates his two-way game in the playoffs, the way Mark Stone is, you know, one of the best two-way players of our, you know, this new era of the 2010s,
mm-hmm.
they clog the lane so well, and I think that's really going to chum up what McDavid likes to do. He likes, you know, obviously you can't stop him, but at least slow him down enough to where he really likes that transition game. He likes to change the pace a little bit when he skates, and I think what Vegas is really good at is you know, giving him less space, no time and space, clogging up the neutral zone, you know, taking away those passing lanes, taking away those angles, those sharp turns where he, you know, can create space for himself. And I think they're going to get it done in 6 or 7.
And that's the thing, like in the playoffs, like space, it's, you can't get it. Like it's very, very hard to get. You can, but it's hard to get. And I think when Vegas plays their shutdown game and they're able to kind of control pace, you know, on both ends of the ice, like Eichel can do, Marchessault, we saw how good he was in the playoffs. They cause problems for teams, and they haven't been the best Vegas team that we've seen in the past few years, but they're here, and they can play, and they know how to go in the playoffs. They're going to be an issue, for sure.
Oh, yeah. I just hate Vegas, man. I hate Vegas.
Hard to like them.
Yeah, it can
and,
be Vegas.
Well, do we have any news on Hurdle, game 1?
He actually came back. He suited up and played one or two games this regular season, so he's back. So,
thank you for the correction.
All right. Yeah, Hurdle's back. Yeah, give me Vegas. Vegas in 7.
Yeah. Right. Same thing with the away upset here. And then I guess we'll go into the Western Conference. It's so tough because I really do think a team like Vancouver, if they get some steam, they can get going. And that they would line up against Winnipeg, Colorado, right? They'd play the winner of that. No, that's Central. So they'd play the winner of Edmonton, Vegas, right? Or Edmonton, whoever that is.
Does it reseed? How the hell does this work?
It does not reseed. So no. It would be Edmonton would play the winner of
Vancouver, Nashville.
Right.
So Vegas, Vancouver in round 2. I do think that Vancouver is a team that they have players on that roster that if they get hot, they get hot. And the prediction is that they will, and they will get hot, and they will beat Vegas to go on to the conference final to play against the Winnipeg Jets, who will beat Colorado, they will beat Dallas, and they will play for the Stanley Cup against the New York Rangers.
You know, it's unbelievable because I actually have the Islanders playing the Winnipeg Jets in the Stanley Cup Finals. So we pretty much have the same thing on the Western side.
It's crazy.
Flip flop in the East.
I have Winnipeg taking down Colorado, beating Dallas. I have Vegas beating Edmonton. I dread from it. I have a Rangers Vegas final.
Wow, you
that's something.
Me. I mean, anything, you just say Rangers blank, and it's just like, ugh, because every team in the West, the only team really that I wouldn't be, like, definitely afraid of is Nashville, but if they can actually win 3 rounds and get to the cup final, that'd be
crazy. Yeah, then it's like, do you really want to play them?
Yeah, yeah, it's just insane. I think looking back, you know, like, picking Winnipeg to go to the cup final is probably the most dangerous pick because they play Colorado in the first round, and Colorado could easily just be like, yeah, like, fuck this, like, we're going to beat them in 5-6 games. Which is kind of scary. I don't know. That's why the Stanley Cup playoffs are the best, because we can predict these brackets. We can cross our fingers that it's going to be the
best
thing
wrong.
In the world. And they're all wrong.
I think I like what you were saying there, Jake. I agree. I really do think that the Western Conference winner is coming out of the Central Division. So I think it's going to be either Dallas, Winnipeg, or Colorado. And mm-hmm. I think if Winnipeg wins that Colorado series, they're going to beat Dallas. I don't know what it is with Colorado this year. Something against them maybe, but I think...
It's the goaltending.
Yeah,
it's the goaltending.
It really is. I think Dallas, if they play Colorado, Dallas moves on. So it's really whoever wins that Winnipeg-Dallas series for me.
For sure.
I mean, I feel like if we all have biased picks for who's going to win the Stanley Cup.
Isles.
Rangers.
Rangers. Well, Tim, can I ask you a serious question? Can I ask you a serious question?
Ask away.
There has to be a formula for the Islanders to win the Cup.
Mm-hmm.
And what is it?
The way they've been playing. They're 1-2-2 hybrid right now. The way they've been trapping in the neutral zone and the way they've been able to possess the puck in their own zone, keeping a lot of shots away from the front of that into the outside, has been so much better than what they were doing under Lambert. With Lambert, they like to funnel guys to the front, you know, keep the center of the ice more clogged and let them sort of work around on the outside, and then they can work it in when they pull us out. So what they do in the new defensive zone now is they have that sort of hybrid. They, you know, attack the puck possessor, but they don't get too far away from the front of that where they can't clear bodies. So they have a good hybrid right now. The hottest team going into the playoffs. Again, I really like being the hot team in the playoffs. I think if you're riding a hot goalie like the way Varley's been playing, and now Sorokin heated up after last night, I think it's really hard for me not to see. If they get past Carolina, it's really hard for me not to see them beat every other team. Legitimately.
I just think for a team like the Islanders, it's going to take so much to beat Carolina.
Yeah, but you know what?
With your prediction, I think, like, the thing is that with the Devils, right, last year, their quote-unquote Stanley Cup was the Rangers series, and they put everything they had into that series to win it, being down 2-0, going into the Garden and winning in Game 3. Like that, and Game 3 and Game 4. And so, you know, to be able to
remind me.
So, well, I mean, it's just history at this point now. And to be able to do that, it takes so much out of a team. So if the Islanders are able to get past Carolina, I think the Rangers, matching up with the Rangers would be the best case scenario for them, because it would then reignite that spark. Like if they played the Capitals.
Well, I agree with you 100%.
Capitals, if they played the Capitals in the second round, which would be the crate. If it was Islanders Capitals second round.
Oh my gosh.
That would be the most. Dude, think about that. One of those teams to the Eastern Conference final. Okay?
Yeah, and the Isles don't even have 40 wins.
Stop.
I know. It's not happening, so let's just get it out of the.
But I think, I mean, like you said, like it takes a lot for it to happen, and obviously they're not the favorite. But when you look back to what they did do on those Eastern Conference final runs, is they did the same thing. I mean, they had the same formula, kind of get it in deep, just kind of work, chip away, outwork you, win those puck battles in the corner. I think they have the right personnel to do it. They seem like they really bought into what Patty was saying. Obviously, that turnaround they had at the end of March going into April, they're getting 15 out of 16 in that month, which is huge to boost them in the playoffs. And now that they're here, the way they've been playing lately, it's really hard for me not to have them coming out on top of this series. You go back, they beat Nashville for the first time at home since 2017, and they shut them out 2-0. Or 2014 is the last time they beat them at home. 2017 is the last time they beat them in general. And they shut them out at home. Varley makes 40 saves. I don't know. The recipe right now is working. I like the way the third line's moving. Engvall's stepping up his game. Palmieri has 30 goals this year. Very under the radar. I'm loving them right now, so I gotta ride with them.
I think what scares me so much about the Islanders and they're moving on is that I think Carolina can play any game that the Islanders want to play, and I think that's the only kind of thing that's gonna like stop them from wanting to play that game is that I think Carolina can play that way and they could do it better. Whereas they can dump the puck in and they're gonna be faster and they're gonna be a touch quicker on the puck to be able to get it out, retrieve it, and move it. And they're a little bit more skilled. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be a true underdog story if the Islanders are able to move on to the
But like I said, again, they do have the season series. They're 2-1-1 against them this year. It's just they've won. I mean, they won a game this year having 14 – it was 16 shots on goal against 45. They won 5-4. So as long as it's quality over quantity and they keep the puck out of there on that, I don't really – I know, like Stan said, the Isles need to find a way to score. I don't know if that's necessarily their problem right now. I think their problem is keeping the puck out of their own net. So if they could just put pucks in the net and keep it out of our own net, we'll be fine. We could win games 2-0.
We'll see.
Stan, they got 330 goal scorers this year. So
The last thing I will say, because I'm kind of done talking about the Islanders, is that I think there it's a little bit of a different feel than it was last year going to Carolina, where I personally think they had zero chance to beat Carolina. And the games were close. Like, if you remember,
you knew they were going to be. I mean, they were obviously going to be close.
Of course. Yeah, I mean, they were always going to be close, and so it's going to be the exact same thing. And if the Islanders can find a way to win a one goal game, 2-1, 3-2, that's a recipe for success. So we'll see. We will see.
All right, Jake, final thoughts.
I'm excited. I'm nervous.
Send a message. Get me ready to run through a brick wall.
Well, I got it. Before you get through this, you get us running through a brick wall. I just want to ask you one question about the Rangers.
No, sure.
I know I mentioned their 5-on-5 scoring, you know, heating up a little bit now going into playoff time. But if you could see something really, I don't want to say elevate or stay at, what's trending, continue that trend for them to continue going in the playoffs. What would you think it'd be? Because right now, I think for me, it's how efficient their power play is. If they can keep that up and have a good special teams in the playoffs, it's hard for me to root. You know, I hate them, but it's hard for me to see them lose.
Yeah. For me, it's like, you know, the obvious answer is for me, it's Shesterkin. Because when he was on his game in 2022, it was lights out. Every game, the Rangers were in it. And it was that feeling inside, like, okay, like if the team comes down on the ice, he's going to make a save. He's going to make the first save. God forbid he doesn't make the second one, but you're going to get a save when the other team comes in. That was the feeling. Like, it was the feeling of that, like, you're not worried. And so last year was different. And now going into it, I'm kind of feeling much better after the start of the year. So he is definitely the obvious X factor. If I had to think outside the box, it's defensive production. Ryan Lindgren scored a huge goal in New Jersey in game – I forget what game that was, but I think it was game two. Game two, yeah. Huge goal, because that kind of like put the nail in the coffin a little bit. And when you get that from a team, especially from a guy who doesn't score a lot, you think about – guys like Miller, Trouba. I mean, Fox got a career high in goals, but really outside of that, there's what, 6 or 7 goals max from one guy. And if you get a goal from a guy like Schneider or Miller or Trouba or Gustafsson, that will boost the team to win a game. And I think if you're going to get that kind of production, it's going to push you to success. Because in my opinion, I don't see a team being able to shut down the power play. It's been shut down at times this season, but they're going to get hot in the playoffs. I think that is going to be a defining thing for the Rangers if they're going to make the cup. But the defense, if they're able to step up, that will add to the winning formula. I do love it if the Rangers if they start scoring from the back end.
Yeah, and now I got one more that's going to sound like a post game interview question. Right, I just want to add one more. We talked about the Isles for a while. I want to talk about the Rangers. I mean, it's all New York fans here, Stan.
That's okay.
That's fair.
And I know Panarin's had an unreal year, and it's point wise, I mean, it's been career best, but he got critiqued in the past a lot for his two-way game in the playoffs, and this year, I mean, it's not that he's been bad two-way defensively, but are you looking for him to elevate that a little bit? Because, I mean, we have seen in times where he's been a little late to the zone, trailing plays. Do you need him to step up like in more of a captain role, or you think you'll be fine if he just continues what he's doing right now?
Panarin is on his game the most when you see him at the center of your screen all the time, whether the puck is in the defensive zone or the offensive zone. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean he has to be the first guy on the forecheck every time because he's going to be dead. But at the same time, you look where he is on the ice when there is a guy like Trocheck or there is a guy like Lafreniere getting in on the forecheck. Either he's supporting or he's creating himself. He's creating open ice for himself to be able to, right. And when he does that, he's at the top of his game. And he was doing that all year long. You can look at his highlight reel and you can see the goals that he scored and the assists that he's had. But there's also a completely separate highlight reel for the amount of plays that he's made off the puck to create space for himself and to get himself into areas where he can then score. And so if he's able to do that, if he's able to win puck battles and get the puck on his stick and give it to a guy like Trocheck or Lafreniere so then they can begin to work it in the offensive zone, that's a recipe for success. If he is on and he becomes a playoff MVP, I think the Rangers are the team to beat.
Okay, you're going to kill me again, right, Stan, because I got to ask one more.
ooh, pick me.
Yeah, I mean, both of you can answer this. I just want to say, I mean, I know we mentioned the Isles a lot, but Barzal does lead the league in takeaways, and that's a huge aspect of his game that he elevated this year. I mean, he's been great in the two-way game. But I just want to ask you, is there a guy you're going to look to most to put out in those situations that you're expecting huge things out of defensively? That's your guy that you know he's an offensive threat, but you could put him out there and make a big play in the late minutes. Is there a guy you think is going to step up like that?
The whole second line. I mean,
I was just going to say that. Yeah, I mean, I was going to say one of the second
line. It's the fact that you know, coming into the year and for the 95% of the year, the first line for this Rangers team has been led by Zibanejad and Kreider, but now it's just the fact that you put that second line out, they offer such a mix of skill and hard work that it can't be replicated by any other line. I love what the bottom six does, and I think if you put a guy like Rempe in the lineup for game one, which I said publicly that I want to happen, it's going to be tough for teams to get past that. And I think that that second line is going to learn how to control games early on in the playoffs, and they're going to make a statement big time. But one thing, Stan, that we haven't talked about,
yes,
and I'll transition because, Tim, thank you for the questions. I really appreciate that. You make me feel special and nice. Philip Hedel.
I'm talking hockey.
Is he? Yeah, I was just going
to
say.
So there's no word on him whether or not he's going to be able to play. But here's my thing. He is a boost for the lineup regardless of where you put him. But the question that I'm going to ask you is, where do you put him? Where do you put Philip Hedel in this lineup?
Who's the odd man out in this situation?
So,
like, that's the thing.
So my prediction is that, well, it's not Kako.
No.
It's not Kako because he is so good defensively that he's out there and he's able to kind of balance out that third line. My prediction is that he goes into the third line and you get Will Cooley, Philip Hedel, Kaapo Kakko. And your fourth line becomes a mixture of Wennberg, Brodzinski, Gaudreau,
Rempe,
Vizi. What I do think has to happen is Jimmy Vizi has to be in the lineup for game one. He's got to be there.
I agree.
He has to be there. And if that means Gaudreau has to be there as well, then you roll out. The thing is, what scares me, and I know we're running out of time here, what scares me is that if
we're never running out of time, Jake.
If you put Hedel in, what does that
mean?
My
dumbass actually ordered food, and I forgot to select the time, so now it's like ASAP. Yeah.
What does that mean for
Wennberg?
You can go get it. We'll still be here talking hockey.
That's fair. What does that mean for Wennberg if you just immediately replace him with Hedel? Right? Like, what does that mean? Does that mean, is that a confidence lack? You know, is that something where the lineup kind of looks at it and says, like, okay, but, you know, we love Hedel, but Wenny's been working hard all year. Like, that's,
I think,
you know, what do you do there?
Kind of I think it's a confidence thing because as soon as Wennberg got himself acclimated, that third line has been cooking with Cooley, Wennberg, and Kakko.
Yeah.
That third line's been basically unstoppable defensively.
Yeah,
and they've
great.
Looked fresh every game that line's been paired together. They've looked fresh. To answer your question with a question, do you get the Rozovic hate, the Jack Rozovic hate? Because I don't.
I think I do, because when he came in, he started. I get it. I don't hate on him, absolutely. I think he's great. But now the first line just seems balanced because it just, you know, when Wheeler was out there, and I love Blake Wheeler. I think he's awesome. When Wheeler was out there and when Wheeler was, that was the only one that they really kind of experimented with.
Bro moves
with
a piano
there,
on his back.
It was
VC
just,
they experimented with for a little bit.
And VZ was great with that line. But when you get a guy that kind of has speed on that first line, like how Vetrano was, it creates balance, right? And it looks like they're a line of three versus two. And I get the hate because he's not producing, but that right wing spot was never going to be a guy who's going to come in and score 10, 15 goals after the deadline. And when you have a guy like Kreider and Zibanejad out there who are going to put the puck in the net and going to assist, you just have to hope that Rozovic's in the right spot. And he has put himself in a good spot. You know, you saw that 2-on-1 goal that he scored against Ottawa. I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah.
And he's kind of been in those spots. Like, for Wheeler's example, he was really never in those positions to really get the puck on a stick
to the
in a good
play.
Spot. Yeah. And that's something that you see in a common theme around the league. And so getting a guy like Rozovic and hating on him for his, I guess, you know, limited point total, I don't get it.
And you know what? I think that's just more of the average, non-really looking into it hockey-wise fan, because the same thing kind of happened on the Isles side. You move Casey Zekas to that first line. Obviously, going fourth to first is a huge jump. But I don't think what people understand, like you're saying, is it brings balance. I mean, you get a forechecker, Rozovic, same thing, where guys will go win puck battles and set up the other two who are going to put points for you up. They're going to put points on the board. So why do you need all three producing if you got two doing the, you know, doing the heavy lifting and the plus minus is still there? So I get it completely.
Right. It only takes one goal.
All right.
It only takes one goal.
Jake, final thoughts. Get me ready to run through a brick wall right now.
Well, I want you to be nervous. And I want you to be excited, both of you, because this is the time of the year that comes
You're
around
nervous.
Once.
Are you kidding me?
It comes around once a year. The expectations are high for some, and they're low for others. But at the same time, be excited. Get amped. Game one this weekend in the spring. We're getting amped. fucking ready to go. I want you through a wall as soon as you possibly can. Panarin, Kreider, Zibanejad, Shesterkin, Trouba, Miller. Get Fox. Ready. Get Fox. Get ready. Get ready. It's coming.
Get
the Rangers storm
get
is and coming.
And I got just one. You know, one thing for
Tim,
Isles fans.
Say your piece.
One thing for Isles fans is what are you going to do when the New York Islanders come running after you? I'm telling you, man. There is something about this team. They had no business being here about 2 months ago. I mean, they had a 4% chance of making the playoffs March 27th. The fact that they're clinched a third seed is unbelievable to me. They're hot. They're rolling. Get excited, Isles fans. It's a good time to be alive. We're back and better than ever. Let's get going.
All right, I like this speech better than mine, honestly. Mine was kind of shit.
Jake, we thank you for coming out as always.
Gosh, thank you.
For the billionth time, we're shooting for a quadrillion. Shooting for a quadrillion.
We're going to get there. We're going to get there.
We're going to get there eventually. We're going to get there eventually. All right.
Yes.
Thank you, Jake, as
no
always.
No problem, guys.
Thank you, Jake.
Peace out. Thank you.